Pretty impressive, and it continues to be an impressive number. We've, in this region, being in a position to attract a lot of foreign in direct investments. There's a portfolio of clients that are best in class, and to name but a few, Zimmer Biomet, Element 6, you know, recently Mary GTX, JLR. There's a significant investment of very strong for IDA clients in the region. And what's interesting is there are due locations for some of these companies, like Zimmer Biomet, they place in Armagh and Limerick, or sorry, Shannon. So they're investing significantly in new locations, and this seems to be a pattern that's developing. Likewise with Edward Life Sciences, they're based in Shannon, but also based in Limerick. So performance with regard to IDA clients is doing very, very well, with 6,000, as you said, of these 70 companies creating employment opportunities.
Helen, can you give us a bit of background or maybe some insight into the IDA interactions with Shannon businesses, the machinations of persuading them to come here?
The model that IDA have used in the past is to use existing clients in the region. And what we're seeing is that the portfolio of clients that do come in visit not just existing clients, but they also visit some of the Enterprise Ireland clients and universities, just to get a sense of, you know, the decisions that they've made to establish and to be and remain successful in the region. So that continues to be the case. And on a few occasions, we've met some of the clients coming into the region, and they're looking for all the ingredients to make their investment a success. And that includes infrastructure, skills, the work-life balance, connectivity. And we offer all of that, hence, I suppose, having the 159 IDA clients currently based in the region. And like I've said, some of these clients are existing to expand the current headcount, which is quite exciting for anybody thinking of returning to the West or to kind of look at different job opportunities in different sectors.
And Padraig, you're more concerned, I suppose, with the Enterprise Ireland side of things. Enterprise Ireland has 100 clients in Clare that it works with that employ almost 5,200 people, which as well, very, very pleasing numbers to read.
Yeah, we've quite a strong ecosystem, and that's borne out, I suppose, the heart of that is in the Shannon region. And I think what's particularly relevant is with the IDA and Enterprise Ireland clients is they work actually quite closely together. And we see it in the smaller clients that we deal with day to day. The sub-supply into that multinational sector is hugely important. And I know from the engagements I've had with a lot of the multinational sector, that's actually what they value in the region, is that collaboration and that cooperation, and particularly with our educational institutions, because the reality is those multinationals need skilled employees, but we need to make sure that through our educational system that the right people with the right skills are coming through that. And there's a huge amount of work goes on in the region, and that is really a big attractor to get them in here.
Yeah, would you agree with that, Helen? You mentioned some of the reasons that would attract FDIs here and work-life balance and so on, but education would be a big one, I presume. You have, obviously, Tuse campus here in Clare, and then either side of it, UL and up in Galway as well.
Totally agree with everything that Padraig has said. I think the beauty about this region is the collaboration that happens between SMEs and IDA clients is pretty significant. We ourselves, as a Chamber of Commerce, have established a number of networks, our Sustainability Network and the Midwest Lean Network and our HR Network. This is a combination of multinational companies and SMEs working together and exchanging best practices, and that collaboration, as Padraig has said, it's such a valuable it's so valuable to companies who are established here. And it's an attractor then for other companies that we've spoken to coming into the region. This engagement and discussion around sustainability or continuous improvement, you know, you can't underestimate the value of new companies coming into the region who have that pipeline of existing businesses trading to actually share that information.
Yeah, Padraig, can you tell us a little bit about the local enterprise office Clare development plan and what that entails in terms of, and what it aims to do in terms of increasing the number of companies coming here?
Yeah, it's very simple level. Our remit is really to help those very early stage companies, either a startup or a company that is in the first year or two, grow. How do we, all we do is give them a leg up. We can't help them do business of that, but what we'll do is maybe give them a bit of financial support that'll get them over a hurdle. But interesting, the collaboration piece, we've done a bit of work with Shannon Chamber in the past where Helen and her members have brought in the larger clients to say, right, what do they require for their sub-supply? And then how do our small businesses get a foot in the door to that? And that's hugely important, particularly in the engineering sector. And in recent months, I've been involved personally in a project around aerospace project and how Clare can benefit from that. And it's that might be 5-10 years down the road, but what we're saying, what are the building blocks we put in place now? And one of those is around that sustainability. We're saying, right, if we can get our sub-supply and our small engineering companies really fit for purpose, really high quality, deliver on time, etc., that becomes a calling card for hopefully and to attract another FDI investment into the region.
Yeah, and Helen, can you give us your perspective on that as well, that synergy between what Enterprise Ireland are doing and linking in with you guys in terms of FDI then?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that's been something we've done for as long as I've been CEO of the Chamber, and it works very nicely. We work very closely with Park and his team and with Enterprise Ireland, and Jerry Maloney is our point of contact there. But this type of engagement, again, we can't underestimate the value of it. So we'll continue through the Midwest Lean Network, through our sustainability network. What's really interesting is we're hosting a lot of our events now in-house and some of the multinational companies. We have an event coming up with Element 6, which will give opportunities to micro-enterprise and Enterprise Ireland clients to go and see and hear firsthand what they're doing when it comes to continuous improvements. And they'll bring their expert speakers within Element 6 to talk to companies. And that's a learning curve for some companies. And that ecosystem, as Parik has mentioned, is so valuable. And we continue to do this because we're very industry-led, and this is what companies want to share, and this is what companies want to hear. So that will continue into the future. But that ecosystem is something we'll be very focused on going forward.
Do you have any concerns in terms of the coming years, Helen, in terms of attracting further foreign direct investment, maybe accommodation issues? We'll get on to that, obviously, corporation tax increasing a little bit, or any other potential stumbling blocks that might get in the way?
I think every region is having challenges with regard to accommodation at the moment. I think this region is doing very well in terms of attracting foreign direct investment. There is a housing plan, and I think we've been working very closely with the council to understand the rezoning of land. So that solution to the housing crisis is actually being developed at the moment. But in terms of attracting foreign direct investment, we're very confident in IDA's ability to continue to do this. We have a portfolio of existing long-term FDI clients in the region, and likewise with Enterprise Ireland clients. So we'd be confident that we get over the housing crisis. We've got over a lot of crises in the recent past. You know, talk about Brexit, you know, the pandemic, and I think this is just another challenge for the region. But every region is looking at this in isolation. And some companies, Alan, are even buying housing stock themselves to support the employees coming in and from external locations. So where there's a problem, there's always a solution.
Yeah, and indeed, just on that, I suppose, Helen, recently we would have spoken with Atlantic Aviation Group based in Shannon, mm-hmm. who are they're offering their employees rental accommodation in this purpose-built co-living space that in Six Mile Bridge, the former Jamaica Inn. Can you see more companies within Clare and Shannon in particular doing that because accommodation has proven to be such a big issue in terms of attracting and retaining staff?
I suppose if you look what AAG have done, they've found a solution to a problem that they had, and I think they're going to house 36 suites or the ability to bring in 70 plus employees, I believe. I would imagine that some companies are continuing to use hotel stock and B&Bs, and they are buying houses. I don't know. I think that may have slowed down a little bit, Alan. Not too sure if people have found full-time accommodation, but a lot of communities are looking at existing housing stocks that are unoccupied, and those houses have been done. But I think, again, it's difficult to know what employers are currently doing, but I think the solution that AAG came up with was excellent.
And I know, Parag, perhaps that might be less of an option, shall we say, for SMEs, but accommodation still an issue for them as well. There's no businesses, very few businesses that would escape that.
Yeah, listen, accommodation is part of the issue, but it's can you get the right people with the right skills? And then if you identify them and you want to track them back to the Midwest and particularly back to Clare, where are they going to live? Where are their families? You know, and sometimes we forget it's not actually the employee, it's actually the families that come with them, the children and education. And that we are hearing that is a pressure point for a lot of the multinationals. And it's well known in Ireland, housing is a challenge. A lot of work is going on. It's not going to be an overnight solution, but it's good to see some companies being a little bit innovative and looking at ways that they can solve the issue. Listen, in my years of dealing with businesses, there's always challenges. Most of them are unwelcome, but I've seen businesses typically are resilient and find ways to overcome those challenges.
Look, we're hearing in our news bulletins this morning, Padraig, you know, that Carl Crowe, the Fianna Fáil TD from Mílik, calling for multinationals to coming here to be required to contribute towards housing stock for new employees, that the if a mandatory housing directive was brought in, that it would have significant benefits for both employees or employers. Do you think he's onto something there, or do you think that might prove to be a little bit of a deterrent? Maybe it might dissuade some multinationals in terms of coming here?
Yeah, listen, it's not for me to comment on that. I think the important thing is businesses come here for the right reasons. They will factor that and other issues into play. I know the companies we look at, they're not looking at a single issue as being the reason that they do or do not come to this region. They're looking across a wide range of issues. And where there's challenges, my experience is they tend to work with the relevant authorities to say, right, how can we overcome this? And typically, Ireland has proven, and particularly Clare in the Midwest, we find ways to help them overcome those challenges.
Okay, well, Helen, you speak to a lot of multinationals. Would a mandatory housing directive be a potential deal breaker, even if it would help kind of alleviate accommodation issues for business somewhat?
Listen, I think I wouldn't like to speculate on that. I think a foreign direct investment coming into this region will make their decision about what they're going to contribute towards the success of establishing an operation here. I think we've survived without a policy or a regulation like this until now, and I think the housing crisis is going through serious consideration at government level, and I think we should be able to solve that without mandating. But that's my own opinion without actually going into the detail on that, Alan.
That's fair enough. Padraig, do you feel the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, obviously in conjunction with both the IDA and Enterprise Ireland, is doing enough? Is it more than playing its part in terms of attracting new commerce and industry to Clare?
Yeah, my experience of dealing with them directly is they're very proactive, and there is a policy within enterprise policy to focus on the regions, and obviously Clare in the Midwest features strongly. Clare and Midwest have really a good track record, but the reality is that's up to us in Clare and in the region to make this really a place where a business wants to come and set up and live. And listen, we've seen with COVID, let's be honest, west of Ireland is quite good, and Clare has all the resources, everything that you need, good transport links. So why wouldn't you come here?
Do you think, Helen, that the department is playing its part? It's working pretty well in conjunction with the IDA?
Absolutely. I mean, we haven't had any reason to believe it hasn't, and I would echo everything that Padraig has said there. I think that will continue. We've no reason to believe that that wouldn't be the case going forward.
Are further supports needed for businesses, do you think? Is there anything else that could be done to, you know, obviously both of you have spoken very well in terms of just what Clare has to offer, and there's a lot there, clearly, it's because a lot of businesses come here. Is there anything else in terms of supports that would prove attractive? To you, Helen.
My apologies. We engage with businesses on a daily basis, and we haven't heard anything that's currently there that would be an ask of government over and above the existing support that they offer. So the answer from my perspective is I think we're already providing a lot of support through the LEO, through Enterprise Ireland and through IDA. And I suppose these agencies are industry-led as well, so I'm assuming that they're constantly looking at new ways or new opportunities and new ideas to attract foreign direct investment in or to retain foreign direct investment, and likewise with Enterprise Ireland. So I would say there's adequate support there. We haven't heard that there isn't from the current dialogue that we're having with our members.
And Porrig is there in terms of the carrot that's being dangled for potential businesses to come here? Is it plump and juicy enough, or are there further supports that could be offered?
No, the supports there are quite good. Actually, the biggest challenge we have, and I'll probably focus more on our Enterprise Ireland and Leo clients, is there's actually supports there that they're not failing off. So, for example, I think really important for this region in the coming years is around research, around innovation. We're seeing AI coming in, we're seeing robotics. We're seeing a lot of negative focus on that, but there's actually huge opportunities within that. What new status can we create? What can our small businesses, how can they innovate it? And if we innovate within this region and get a reputation for that, that becomes an attractor. So supports are there. What's important is businesses reach out, ask the question and find out how can we help them.
And when you say that there are some supports that businesses aren't availing of, is it just because they feel they don't need them, or they're not as aware of them as they should be, or
they're busy on? Like, for example, there's a couple of directives coming around sustainability directives, and I know Helen and her team are very strong on this and trying to raise awareness. Our concern, for example, is that in the sub-supply sector, while the directive may not apply to the smaller companies, it does to the larger entities, and they will look to their supply chain. We have supports there to make sure that those small businesses get on that journey. The problem is, and we talk to them quite regularly, they'll say, yeah, Porrig, it's important, I know it is, but it's number five on my priority list.
This reminds me a little bit of our discussion last week on the increased cost of business grant, where just over 35% of businesses here that are eligible for it have applied for it. And again, I suppose the reason that was put forward by Sheila Lynch was just businesses, they're aware of it, but each day they have a litany of tasks to take care of, and it just isn't top priority, even if it would be beneficial to them.
Yeah, and that's understandable. Like, it's a hard, lonely place. If you're running a business out there, you're dealing with so many competing interests, and where do you put your priorities? And that's what we're trying to say to businesses. We'll do the heavy lifting for you on this, but you do need to give it a bit of time, and it will add value to your business at the end. And all we're asking them is just engage, be aware of what's coming down the track, and make sure you're prepared for it.